are going to pick up the Bibles in front of you in the pew, authorized versions of the Holy Scripture, and we're going to read a couple of portions from the precious Word of the Living God. The Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. We're going to read in the 16th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. And we're going to read from verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And God shall stamp this portion of his own most precious word with his full stamp of approval and blessing. Amen. And if you'd open your Bible, I invite you to turn to chapter 16 of Matthew's Gospel and the verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I want to speak tonight upon when profit is loss and when loss is profit. From this text, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, profit is loss if you gave him the whole world of health and lose your own soul. There seems to be a great search today for health. People feel, if I am only healthy, the world will be different. My life will be different. And everything else will be different. But you could have the best possible health. But never forget that you live in a world of ill health. You live in a world that is surrounded by various enemies of health, and you are, as a human being, subject to them all. So a person who gains the whole world of health does not have peace, because in his mind, there is always the fear that that health will be broken. That rule of health will be overthrown. And he will not have the continuing health that he has sought for. It is right, fairest flowers soon decay. Youth and beauty pass away. Oh, you haven't long to stay. Be in time. We all live in an unhealthy world. And if you'd listen to some of the commentators, you would say it's a miracle I'm even breathing. There seems to be a campaign abroad to scare people about health. And I suppose they need to be scared, because if you break the laws of health, you'll reap the harvest of ill health. There's no doubt about that. But there is no permanent gain, because you get the whole world of health. It's not profit. In fact, it can be a loss. For many, a healthy person has no time for the God of heaven and thinks, oh, I'm well, I'm strong, and the idea and fact of death is forgotten, and they plunge themselves to the enjoyment that they think they will have as a result of the good health that they're enjoying. Yes, the prophet is lost when they've gained the health that they're looking for. That is not real profit. It can be a loss. Secondly, I would say that the gaining of wealth, and some people think if they can only gain wealth, all will be there. I was talking to a man the other day, and he was wishing that he would win the lottery. And I said, have you read about some people that have won the lottery? Have you read about those that consider doing away with their life because of all the persecution they had from their friends? One man said, cousins I never knew and blood relationships I never heard of all turned up on the doorstep and demanded, what's a few thousand pounds to you? Look at the money you have. Be a man. Give us a handful of notes. After all, my blood and your blood is runs in our veins. And he said, I lost more friends that I never knew were my friends. I lost them. But then he said, I lost people that were my friends. And they said all manner of evil against me falsely. Why? Because they had got the wealth that they thought they should seek after. No, the wealth of this world. All of it. Notice the scripture is very plain. It says, should gain the whole world of health, should gain the whole world of wealth. And what would happen then? The miser, he is wealthy, but his wealth has brought a terrible fear into his heart. So he hides his money all away. He doesn't want anyone to know or see that he has this money. And then when he goes down into his cellar and opens up his money and he looks upon it, then there's a shudder comes to him. And he says, oh, if my friends knew this, they might rob me. If my enemies knew this, they will rob me. And it brings him no satisfaction. He worries more when he goes to bed than the pauper, because he has this wealth. And you can have all the wealth of this world and you'll not be happy. That's not the way. The Lord was right when he said here, gain the whole world of wealth, the whole world of health. You can get it, but it'll not satisfy you. And your profit will be a loss. But then there's other people, and they think if they gain the whole world of stealth, they would do very, very well. If I just could be clever enough to make this move and to make that move, and if I could learn the ways of the clever people of this world. I've listened to people on the radio and television, and I've seen that they start up from nothing, but they had this special stealth, and it helped them to pile into their coffers more and more of this world's goods. Now, if I could only get this cunning, these people say, the cunning of the world. But let me tell you, there's always schemers in the world better than you would ever be as a schemer. And they would know how to get hold of the facts of what you were doing, and they would visit you with their stuff. And before long, you would be an easy prey to those that have really graduated from the university of the stealth man of this world. And biographies have been written by those who have been ruined, by those who said they were their friends, but they were there in a fiendish desire to destroy, to rob, to overturn, and to bring disaster to you, that they may enjoy the fruits of such a harvest and such a reaping. You see, you could make the whole world of stealth, gain it all, know all the tricks of the devil's trade, know all the ways to pass onward, but it simply means ill-gotten gain. And there are those, and they think of those whom they know who buy ill-gotten gains, have come to a place of, to them, they think it is a place of comfort, a place of satisfaction, and a place of mirth. And that they are wrong, because if you were with them, you would discover that the ill-gotten gains grow teeth, and those teeth dig deep into the heart of those who have gone for ill-gotten gain. Oh, what a sad thing it is to see those who have got their wealth by ill-gotten gain, seeing their harvest. You reap whatsoever you sow. The harvest is certainly coming. You'll reap whatsoever you sow. But then there are those that go for self. They're filled with a selfish. Oh, if I could only have that, all would be well. And the world holds out its bubbles to them, and they think if they could only get hold of those bubbles of this world, all would be well. Listen to what Christ said. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. Listen to what the Apostle John said. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, all of them are dangerous. And all of them in the end are damning. There is no such a place as rest through this old world. This world is a sinful world. This world is a corrupted world. This world is an anti-God world. An anti-Christ world. An anti-Bible world. An anti-commandments of God's world. And that is the way to have the final reaping of death, judgment, and damnation. Gain the whole world of selfishness. It'll not be a gain. It'll be a loss. And what a loss it will be. And then there are those who think that they only get the length of the world longer. I can only be sure of more years to live, more time to spend in my worldly ways, more time to enjoy my pleasures of sin. Let this season be long. Let my life be long. Give me time to enjoy all the things I want to enjoy. Yes, gain the whole world by gaining a long world. If you stay here for a long time, it'll not be profit to you. You'll be laying up a curse for the day of final judgment. And those things that you would do in a long life that went on would add to the greater torments of your damned soul in the darkest eternity of God's making. Oh, my friend, listen to these words of the Savior. He says, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? Everything it can offer, all that it has, all that it possesses, all it holds forth in its inviting hand to you, gain it all. What will a man lose if he gains it all? You know what he'll lose? He'll lose his own soul. The only thing that he really truly possess us. Find me. Find me in the Bible where we have these words about things that a man possesses. This is one of them. His own soul. The most precious thing I have is my soul. That's the real person. That is the real me. That is the real man. And that is mine. My own soul. And you're putting all these sinful things into a balance. And you're weighing them out against your own soul. And as the balance goes down with the supposed sweetness of your sin and sinning, you say, I'm prepared to run the risk and take my chance. What a fool you are. Your own soul is the price. What do I pay for sin? My own soul. What do I pay for my evil living? My own soul. And there is a sense in which every man is isolated and separate. Now I know a man's sin can influence others. I know a man's iniquity can add to his iniquity because he destroys other souls by his conduct. But in the final analysis, at the great day of judgment, you'll stand on your own 2 feet. You'll answer for yourself. And you will answer to the God that made you. You'll answer for your own soul. Let me turn over the page and let me turn to the other thought that's in this text. When loss is profit, what have I lost because I have come and taken Christ as my Savior? Well, thank God, I can say I have gained real life. Life that transcends all life. Life that's victor over death and beyond death and will bring me to heaven forever. This is life indeed. I come, said Jesus, that you might have life and that you might have it forever and have it more abundantly. Life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. You never live until you meet Jesus Christ. You're dead in trespassing and sin. You're living in a dark, dead and world, but thank God Jesus can bring you to life. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree. Look and live, and thank God you can live. I'm talking about real health. I'm not talking about the health of the body. I'm talking about the health of the soul. You remember when John wrote one of his epistles, he talked about the health of the man he was writing to, the health of his soul. Are you healthy in your soul? Are you? It's health of soul that will bring you through this world with joy. You'll not worry about all the ill health that the devil would spread. Thank God there's a path of perfect victory for every child of God. God hasn't called us to misery. He's called us to merriment. Rejoice, said the man in prison. I went to the prison cell when I was in Rome. And I looked down the dark stairway and down into the bowels of the earth in a place where daylight never comes, where sunlight is never seen, that is filled with vermin and every creepy, crawly thing that you ever imagined. And there's a man sitting there, they call him Saul of Tarsus, a learned man, a man of great wisdom, a man of tremendous wisdom. And he's sitting and he's saying, "Rejoice." And again, I say rejoice. And I said to myself, "Ian, that's the religion you need. That's the religion you need. When things are at their worst, the man that can rejoice over every circumstance, his life is hid with Christ in God, eternal in the heavens." And that Rome, Caesar's Rome, couldn't lay a hand on the Apostle Paul. He was in another life, a life of perfect health and perfect strength. That is gain, to lose the world, take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Take it all. Take its pleasures, its wealth. Take all the things that men count wonderful. Take them all. Put them in the rubbish heap. Burn them forever. I'll have Christ in my heart, the hope of glory. You wouldn't compare it, would you? You need to meet Christ. He's a living person. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Yes, there's something else. There's wealth in Christ. What do you lack, sinner friend? You lack God's forgiveness. You've sinned. You know you're a sinner. And those sins are eating at your soul. But the wealth is the wealth of God's forgiveness. Jesus forgives. He wipes away all our sins in his precious blood. What do you need most of all? In a world of war, you need peace. That's what Jesus gives us. He gives us peace. There's no peace like the peace of our Lord Jesus. He gives us joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. A fellow said to me one day in the House of Commons, he says, "Ian, you look always happy." He says, "I am glad you've seen it." I said, "Some days I feel I don't show forth the praises of Christ that I love." He says, "You wear a wee badge." "Yes, I do." I said, "I wear a wee badge. I wear it everywhere." I noticed that the Prince Philip looked very carefully at it when I was talking to him the other day. It says, "Jesus is Lord." That's the secret of peace. He's Lord of all. He's Lord of all wars. He brings all wars to the end, the wars in our heart. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Do you need happiness? Jesus brings happiness to the heart. Do you think it makes me miserable that I'm a child of God? That I'm going to heaven? That my sins are all forgiven? I talked to a man this week and he said, "You gave up being First Minister of Northern Ireland." I said, "Who would want that job?" I said, with a crook like Adam's at your side. He says, "Ah, you're a fool. If that's the sort of job you want, I want as far away from a rascal like that that I could get. I don't want to be in his company. I have given up nothing for Christ, but Christ gave up everything for me. He left the glory for the shame. He left the throne for the torture. He left the crown for the cross. He left the light for the darkness. He left peace for war and cruel torments. And he counted not his life dear unto himself. I'd like to say from this pulpit tonight a personal testimony. I love him because he first loved me. He wants to give you this health. You want companionship. Jesus never leaves his people. He's always there. He's only a prayer away. In fact, he's not as far away as a prayer. He's in my heart. He dwells within my soul. Christ in me. The guarantee of glory. I've got the guarantee of his presence in my soul. Do you want power? He baptizes with the Holy Ghost and power. Do you want your prayers answered? Answered, he says. Whatsoever ye will ask in my name, I will do it. And he will do it. Every Christian should live every minute of every day in the joy of answered prayer. There's some Christians that never ask him to do anything for them. And that's why they don't know the joy of seeing your prayer answered. We need to have our prayers answered every day to strengthen us in the battle for his great name. And over against the stealth that people talk about, Jesus supplies his wisdom. Christ is the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. If the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. Do you want wisdom? Christ is the wisdom of God. Do you want to know the removal of the curse of sin? Then you'll learn it by Christ who saves man from their sin. And what about satisfaction? There's only satisfaction for us in Christ and in Christ alone. He completely and totally satisfies us. You'll never look Christ in the eye and say, you don't satisfy me, Lord Jesus. He satisfies all our longings. He satisfies all our needs. He satisfies all the things that need to be satisfied in the human soul. Do you want abundance? It's that full Christ is full of abundance. He gives us everything abundantly. There's nothing mean about the Lord Jesus. He gives it abundantly. It's like the woman that had the bottles or the vessels, and she put them all out. And old Elisha said, now pour in the oil. And she kept pouring it. And her sons were with us, and I can hear the little boy sing, Mommy, it's filled! She says, son, get me another one. And he ran and brought another empty vessel. Mommy, it's filled! And they didn't run out of oil. They ran out of vessels. That's the way the Lord supplies your abundance. You run out of the receptacle. You can't take it. I used to sing in Sunday school, my cup's full and so is my saucer. Since the Lord saved me, I'm as happy as can be. My cup's full and so is my saucer. Now I tell you, it's running down the tablecloth. It's making a well out of the kitchen. When the Lord abundantly blesses you. D.L. Moody said one day God took him into a room and he knelt down and he prayed God would fill him with the Holy Ghost. And God did it. And he said to the Lord, stop! I can take no more! From that day to the day he died, he knew the fullness of the power of God. There's abundant blessing in Christ. And thank God, it never ends. I look forward to the day when my heart will be big enough to take in the abundance of Christ. I look forward to the day when my earthen vessel will be so transformed in glory that I'll be able to share the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. What a day will that be? There'll be no more sickness, no more death, no more pain, no more anguish. We'll be with Christ and we'll be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Tell me, do you know Him? Do you love Him? Are you serving Him? Are you living for Him? Are you witnessing for Him? Are you praising Him for all that He has done for you and all He will do for you as a child of God? Throw away the gains of this world, for they're a loss. Put your arms round the prophets of heaven. Have a balance and an overdraft with God that you could never pay, for you'll never be able to repay the goodness of God. Still there's more to follow, more and more, more and more. Still there's more to follow. And dear sinner, I covet your soul for Christ. Turn to Him tonight. Put your trust in Him. He will save you. Hallelujah! He will save you now. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy blessed and holy presence. And we pray now as we bring this meeting to an end that Thou would work upon the hearts of sinners and bring them to Christ. And Lord, bless us around Your table. Oh, may we see the God-man tonight. And if we see Him, we'll be satisfied. Spread Your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease. And at our Father's blessed abode, we'll all arrive in peace. And the people of God said, Amen.